Welcome to Divine Inspiration by Dantisha James. Today we're going to talk about Walk by Faith Session 4. Yes, Walk by Faith Session 4. Have you ever wondered what faith in action really looks like? Study the lives of the heroes of faith in Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 1 through 40, and you can see many different ways that faith was very lived out in everyday life. Remember that faith is the certain assurance of the things we hope for and the conviction of the reality of things we cannot see. And so, you know, sometimes I come on here and I ask questions, even though I can't get a response back to you because you listen to my podcast or you listen to me on the radio. So my thing is this thing, just to have you thinking about it. Have you ever been deceived by someone? And did you forgive that person who deceived you? Let's go into the Word of God. Are you ready to get into the Word of God? I am so ready to get into the Word of God. I love the Word of God. We're going to go into Genesis chapter 27, verse 27 through 34. And this is what the Word of God says. So he went to him and kissed in him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Oh, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." And so after Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from the hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. And then he said to him, "My father, please set up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessings." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn Esau." Isaac trembled and bowed and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." And so what happened, basically, to bring the stories down to it, that Jacob pretended to be Esau while Esau was out in the field trying to get the meat. His mama set him up to pretend like he was Esau for him to get the blessings. And now his brother hates him because he got the blessing and Jacob deceived his father that he was Esau. And so look at this. In ancient times, a person's word was binding much like a written contract today, especially when it was formal oath. This is why Isaac's blessing was irrevocable. Before the father died, he performed a ceremony of blessings in which he officially handed over the birthright to the rightful heir. Although the firstborn was entitled to the birthright, it was not actually his until the blessings was pronounced. Before the blessing was given, the father could take the birthright away from the older son and give it to the more deserving son. But after the blessing was given, the birthright could no longer be taken away. This is why fathers usually waited until late in life to pronounce the blessings. Esau was so angry at Jacob that he failed to see his own wrong in giving away his birthright in the first place. So jealousy and anger binds us from seeing the benefits we have and makes us dwell on what we don't have. Isaac gave Jacob the blessings by faith before he passed away. Forgiving is a key for us as believers in Christ to be able to not be like Esau, bitter and angry and upset. And so my next question I want you to think about is, does faith mean trusting in God and doing what he wants, regardless of the circumstances or consequences? And so let's go into Hebrews. Let's look at that. My question was, does faith means trusting in God and doing what he wants, regardless of the circumstances or consequences? So let's go into Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to go down to verse 21 through 22. And let's look what the Word of God says. And it says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped at his lean I mean, as he leaned on the top of his staff, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. And so Jacob was Isaac's son and Abraham's grandson. Jacob's sons became the fathers of Israel, the 12 tribes. Even when Jacob was dying in this strange land, he believed the promises that Abraham's descendants would become a great nation. The true faith helps us see beyond the grave. You hear me say it again. True faith helps us see beyond the grave. Because of Joseph's faithfulness to God, however, he was given a top ranking position in Egypt. He could have used his position to build his own personal empire. He remembered God's promises to Abraham. After he had been reconciled to his brothers, Joseph brought his family to be near him and requested that his bones be taken to the promised land when the Jews eventually left Egypt. Faith means trusting in God and doing what he wants regardless of the circumstances or consequences. So our faith shouldn't shake us because of our circumstances we are enduring, or our struggles that we are doing, or the consequences that we're doing, or things we made bad mistakes on or bad choices on. We should not lose our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep our faith in him. And so my next thing is, are you enjoying the temporary pleasure of sin or momentary pleasures of future long-range good benefits? And see, it took faith for Moses to give up his place in the palace, but he could do it because he saw the fleeting nature of great wealth and prestige. It is easy to be deceived by the temporary benefits of wealth, popularity, status, and achievements, and to be blind to the long-range benefits of God's kingdom. Faith helps us look beyond the world's value system to see the internal values of God's kingdom. Let me say that sentence again. Faith helps us look beyond the world value system to see the internal values of God's kingdom. In the life to come, the last will be first. If they got in the last place by the chosen to follow Jesus Christ, Hebrews has a critical message for earth-loving Christians. Don't forfeit internal rewards for temporary benefits. Like Moses, be willing to make sacrifice now for greater rewards. And so Moses chose to make a sacrifice for greatest rewards. He chose to be like the Hebrews. He chose to be a slave. He chose to run away. He could have stayed in the palace. He could have been in a prime authority and with the king of Pharaoh. He could have had all the riches and stuff, but he chose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose to follow the promises of Abraham. He chose to be a Hebrew. He chose to be with his people. He chose that way because he knew there was a greater reward behind that. And God chose him to use him for his vessel. And so does faith helps us turn around and do what is right, regardless of our past or the disapproval of others? Is that true or false? Let's look at that. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. And I'm going to read that sentence again. It says, does faith help us turn around and do what is right, regardless of our past or of the disapproval of others? True or false? Let me read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 before you think it's true or false. It says this: by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And so when Joshua planned the conquest of Jericho, he sent spies to investigate the fortification of the city. The spies met Rahab, who had two strikes against her. She had two strikes against her. What are the two strikes, Dantisha? She was a Gentile, and she was also a prostitute. But she showed that she had faith in God, and by welcoming the spies, and by trusting God to spare her and her family when the city was destroyed. Faith helps us turn around and do what is right, regardless of our past or the disapproval of others. So it is true. Faith does help us turn around Faith helps us turn around and do what is right, regardless of our past or the disapproval of others. God will use whoever he chooses to use for his purpose. See, we don't like to talk about Rahab as much, but God will use a God used a prostitute. God used anyone for his purpose. He's not entitled to what the religious people say. Oh, you gotta have this title, oh, you gotta go to school for this. No, 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 no. God can use whoever he wants to do because it's his anointing that lives inside of us. Great is he just inside of us that will equip us to be who he created us to be. Not no knowledge of human knowledge, not no degree can make us who God created us to be. God can equip us. The knowledge that we get from school is just to help us, but our equip is already what's inside of us. We just got to grow into who God created us to be. As well as Rahab was saved by her family, even though she was a Gentile, even though she was a prostitute, her family got saved because she believed in God and she trusted in God and she had faith in God, even though she was doing things she wasn't supposed to do. And she helped God's children out. And her whole entire family got saved before the Israelites destroyed the Jericho. Let's keep it going. And so Rahab might didn't fit into the category of the Christians or her background, but she had faith in, she had faith in, was willing to help God's children to conquer the land. By her faith and obedience and sticking with her words, her and her family was saved from being destroyed by the Israelites. And so do you believe that as believers in Christ, that our faith in him will guarantee some form of abuse from the world? Let me say that sentence again. Do you believe that as a believer in Jesus Christ, that our faith in him will guarantee some form of abuse from the world? Let's look what the word of God says. Let's go into Hebrews, which we should be already in, chapter 11. Let's go to verse 32 to 35 and look what the word of God says. It says this, and what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administrated justice, and gained what was promised, who shut down the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. And so the Old Testament records the lives of the various people who experienced these great victories. Joshua and Deborah conquered kingdoms. Nehemiah administrated justice. Daniel was saved from the mouth of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were kept from harm in the fierce flames of fire, fiery furnace. Elijah escaped the hedge of the sword of the evil queen Jezebel. Ezekiel regained his strength after sickness, and Gideon was powerful in the battle. A widow's son was brought back to life by the prophet Elisha. We can too experience victory through faith in Christ. Let me say it again. We can too experience victory through Christ Jesus. These verses summarize the life of other great men and women of faith. Some experience outstanding victories, even over the threat of death. But others were severely mistreated, tortured, even killed. Having steadfast faith in God does not guarantee a happy, carefree life. Let me say this sentence again. Having steadfast faith in God does not guarantee a happy, carefree life. On the contrary, our faith almost guarantees us some form of abuse from the world. While we are on earth, we may never see the purpose of our suffering, but we may know that God will keep his promises to us. Faithfulness to God does not guarantee comfort or deliverance from persecution in this world, but it does assure us to God's grace, help, and strength in the times of persecution, trials, and suffering. And so many think that pain is the exception in the Christian's life. When suffering occurs, they say, why me? Why me? They feel as though God deserted them, or perhaps they accuse him of not being as dependable as they thought. in reality, however, we live in an evil world filled with suffering, even for believers. But God is still in control. Let me say it again. But God is still in control. He allows some Christians to become martyrs for the faith, and he allows others to survive persecution. Rather than asking why me, it is much more helpful to ask why not me. Our faith in the values of this world are on a collision course. If we expect pain and suffering to come, we will not be shocked when it is hit. But we can also take comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ also suffered. He understands our fears and our weaknesses and our disappointments. He promises never to leave us, never forsake us. He intercedes on our behalf in the times of pain, persecution, or suffering. We should trust confidentially in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration. God bless you. Bye.